Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Challenge Double Agents Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 17 and the Challenge All-Stars Wrap-Up Podcast for episode 2. I am Brian Cohn. Hear me, as always, my co-host, Alistair. Allie, how are you?
I am keyed up, my friend. It might be Thursday when we're recording this. It might be Friday when, or forgive me, Saturday, Sunday, Monday when you guys are listening to this. But I just watched this episode, so it's Wednesday night for me. I am amped to talk about this week's ep.
We have Allie Hot Takes Lasher in the house. Is that what we got?
I only have one speed. Such a good episode. This was like A1 challenge for me. Am I crazy? Am I you this week? Crazy?
No, I was ready to say the same thing. I was gonna come in like, if you don't like this episode, then you just don't like the show, because this is all the show has to offer. So this was great. This was fantastic stuff from start to finish. Yeah, well, finally, the elimination could have been better, but other than that, can't blame injury. Everything else was pretty good.
I also was so scared because Millionaire Mitchell last night tweeted something about Fessy going in to Hall Brawl. So I was like, oh dang, oh dang, oh, oh dang, oh dang. Like, it better not be Leroy and Fessy in Hall Brawl.
I love that in your head you keep it PG.
Yeah, I get teased mercilessly by people who know me for saying, oh dang. I shouldn't open that up to the audience.
Both episodes, even like I was watching the Challenge All-Stars, I was like, you know what, this is a little bit better. This is what challenge content we got going on here in April 2021. What a difference a year makes. And a lot of challenge goodness.
I was worried about you, Brian, that you were not in on All-Stars.
It's better now. The episodes too I like more. I like that it keeps it nice and tight, nice like 45 minutes. Doesn't drag on anything. It knows what it is. So that this episode I was a little bit more bullish.
You know, next week we're getting like 2 hours, right? Because we said
yep, you know, that's, I spoke it into existence.
We should say it at the top of the show. We got a lot of questions like on Twitter, like, are you guys sad you guys aren't covering it? We're covering it. It's here. It's tucked away at the end, but it's there. It's a nice 30-minute slot at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, that's why I put it at the intro. It'll be there, and then soon enough, that's all you're going to get from us. So it'll be, we'll be making shorter podcasts or dragging things out. So we'll see how that goes.
We're good at one of those things. Let's see if we can work on the other.
Probably going to be the latter. We'll find a nice 20-minute tangent to cover us, I'm sure.
Speaking of 20-minute tangents, you know what I realized right before this podcast? Because I inexplicably had this this song, you know, that song that's like, that girl is so dangerous, so dangerous. Is that Akon?
Classic
who
TikTok.
Sings that?
I don't know. Wrong.
Can you Google while I'm telling this? Because it's going to get relevant in a second. The line, notice you, noticing me. Fessy ripped off that song. Fessy's best line of the episode is already a lyric in a song that we've had at our disposal for years.
That is Akon, by the way.
So, but do you know what I'm saying? You know how he's I noticed you noticing me? That's Akon.
Yeah, I guess we didn't really, but the way he said it, it was just so not cool that it didn't seem like it could be a cool lyric.
It blew my mind that that should pop into my head not 5 minutes before we record this. Okay, but back to the show. I really think that needs to be talked about. And apologies and kudos to any of our challenge peers in the mm-hmm. podcasting field if you've already addressed this point. But right. I have a feeling maybe you haven't.
The brain works in mysterious ways. You never know what might pop in there.
Well, apparently Nani's brain, according to Kyle, works in mysterious ways too, because I love Kyle here going, you didn't want to pick the 3-time champ.
No fun. I want to have fun. Everyone knows I want to have fun, and you were the most fun. So Nani had like a beaming smile that whole season. She was like, I'm just so happy to be with you again. I'm just so happy. And Kyle's like facing the Grim Reaper. He's seeing the bullet coming in slow motion straight ahead at him.
No one besides maybe me, and I think Kyle's much better than me, can pull off being rude to your face but making it a joke better than Kyle. Like, Kyle is an expert. If Fessy could learn a thing or two from Kyle, and then he could just, and CT also, and then they could just be honest to their partners, and their partners will still love them.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's the accent. I think he just like his laugh, the way, his mannerisms, the way he says it, he just doesn't seem like a... like a mean person. So yeah, he's got that that charm down.
It's a Jim Carrey swag, but it's also I think, like, you can say anything mean as long as it's funny, right? Like, what CT did is not funny. Fessy hasn't been funny since he ripped off Akon, and Kyle though gets the laughs.
Yeah, my wife hasn't watched the challenge in like a month, and she watched this one, and she was obsessed with the way that he would say Nani.
You know, where does she get off skipping the low parts of the season and coming in at the exact right episode? Who tipped her off to
this?
It's
not fair. It's not fair. Here she watches like episodes 1, 5, and 17. She's like, oh, this has been a good season. Wow, but a good season.
It's like me with The Bachelor. It's definitely a way to do it.
Exactly.
Amber B, I had a rough journey with her last week. And I think by putting that out into the world, I don't know if I've Mitch watched her or if she was more likable this episode, but I've pretty much done a full 180 this week on Amber B.
Yeah, I think by the end of it, I don't know how you could not be rooting for her. I mean, obviously, there's a lot more important people to be rooting for in the final, but at least, you know, you're not like neutral to her. Like, I would be happy to see her do well, given everything she went through this episode, both in the challenge and like people talking about her and everything surrounding her. So yeah, so I don't know how she I don't know how you wouldn't be rooting more for her after this week.
I'm probably rooting more for her to come back on the challenge and prove herself generally. Spite works in not mysterious ways, straightforward ways. Like, being mad at Fessy helps me root for Amber B.
Right.
But I am absolutely on record as saying I am not root. Amber B and CT win, I'm very upset at the final, but not because of Amber B, because of the other people who lost, which we'll obviously get to. Yep. Fessy here telling anyone they earn their stripes, it's like, I was vomiting everywhere. Like, I was late to the podcast cleaning up here, all my vomit everywhere. But I do want to give Amber B props, and this is what Fessy said, that she is the only person, besides now Fessy, who won 2 eliminations and is still in the house.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, obviously, she wasn't going against the strongest competition, but you play who's in front of you. She won twice. Good for her. She's had her moments sometimes at Daily. She's not like a simple layup. She holds her own. She's a good enough competitor out there.
Notice you. Notice me. I wish I wasn't tone deaf because I would give you the whole song.
Oh, man.
Best scene in the challenge in recent memory, going down with DM and CT and the wig, Leroy and Cam in this hot tub. I mean, let's stop the pod right here.
Yeah, it was so heartwarming. I mean, this is like really just like, if Leroy doesn't win, they're just like setting you up for just like the absolute worst heartbreak. I mean, they hear their conversation about, you know, it's been 11 years, 11 seasons. He hasn't told anyone else this is his final season, but he's making the most of it. Like, he's having his best season. He's just so in such a good place. And he's like so excited for a final and to do well. And if it like just doesn't go well, and it's kind of looking like it probably won't go well, it's just like, oh, but like, I think he's almost okay with it if he doesn't win because of how well this has gone. He's going to make the final. So like I'm bracing myself to be more at peace of it, more at peace with it, because it seemed like he would be more at peace with it.
I took from this conversation, absolutely everything you said, but I also took from this conversation, you know, it's rare. I think it's fair to say, as someone who has also been in my fair share of toxic relationships, I think I can say that it's rare to see a healthy relationship demonstrated on the challenge. No disrespect to recently married couple and recently broken up couple, Dory and Jordan. Seeing the way that Cam and Leroy interact all season, but especially in this hot tub, to see like the way they talk, like power couple gets thrown a lot around a lot in MTV. This is a power couple. Like Cam's like, we're about to execute all of our goals, start our new life. And just the way they hype each other up, which we've talked about all season, but just like in this real moment between them, like Lee says it's the Lee, I'm getting close with him. 11 seasons. Mm-hmm. They've all been failed. She's like, those are lessons. That's what got you here. They're talking about what they represent. I couldn't do this without you. She says, you're my inspiration. Like if Cam wins, Leroy will be so legitimately happy for her and proud of her in a way that's so healthy and amazing and vice versa. And like, I was thrilled to see this on TV and I'm jealous. Yeah. I'm not dating both of them as a throuple.
Absolutely. And you kind of forget that not like they weren't deep toxic, but they were sort of like a toxic, you know, making each other jealous type relationship. Like they were in some smooth sailing thing from the jump. So to see them come here and just be in such a good place and see both of them, like you said, just would be so genuinely happy for each other in not any type of fake way. It would be great to see one of them win. They're just so happy, and just it's nice to see on this show.
We've also seen a lot of couples bring each other down, right? Like people said, like Tori did worse when Jordan was there. Jenna and Zach, obviously, Carmory and Polly. Like Polly was always like more friendly. Polly stinks too, but like, you know, Polly could get along with Kyle without Carmaria, whatever. If you're a new viewer, you don't need to know about that. Luckily, we could just yada yada that. But they have genuinely improved each other's games and made each other better. With besides a little strategic slip from Leroy, which I'm excited to talk about. But that's really cool to see, especially as people get older in the challenge world and are dating, you know, like I'm not going to like, every couple that comes out of this franchise. I don't know that I was doing that, but I won't because of them. I will give a doc to the 80s theme, that the Eternal Flame, a song I like, absolutely has no business being played quite loudly over this conversation.
Very loudly. I'm glad you picked it up. I was like, could we like have audio control? I want to hear the conversation more. I don't care about the song. I want to hear them be cutesy with each other. Let's hear that. Let's give the music to, you know, when they're slowly fading away, and then you can cut to the song. The music was very loud. It was odd.
Challenge normally does the music so well, but not it. As Amber B would say, it's not it.
Yeah, not it. And not it when TJ comes in. He didn't wake up CT during a his early morning workout. He was still sleeping, but 5:30 a.m. TJ comes storming in to wake everyone up for the final challenge.
Yeah, I hope Kyle had his eyes peeled on if CT was in bed, because I was like Kyle Picard, not Kyle in the joke, because I was like, CT should be eating like deli meat at 5:30 in the morning after his first workout, but I guess he's Big T's not here anymore, so he can be slipping.
Yeah, he has no one to fake train for an elimination, so he's in good shape.
Should have been training Kyle for all, bro.
Should have been, yeah. Setting up the pillows and keeping his finger intact. That would have been the way to go.
What do you think about, when we saw the preview for next week that it was going to be one partner stolen away, I wasn't sure how the mechanism would work. How do you feel about the way they did this, where the partners could choose who stays and who goes?
I thought it was great. I love any time you're making people make decisions rather than the show forcing it on you. I think it was interesting how, you know, you would think in this type of situation, like the person going away would almost be in less in control. You would think the person staying behind would be the one doing more of the work to capture the other person back. So I was surprised that all the guys led the charge of, all right, we'll go and let the women stay, especially knowing it's a guy's, like, especially for Kyle, because like for Kyle, he knows he needs to win. So wouldn't you want to try to do something different in this situation where, like, all right, all the guys are going, let me see if I can flip this on its head and I'll stay. And maybe that'll give me an advantage.
Yeah, I think if you're a lot to unpack there, I think firstly, I agree with you. And only Cam says this. I was like screaming at my TV. And then Cam finally is like, you know, we're probably going to have to dig them out. Because, like, if you've seen the challenge, yes, that's what's happened in the past. Like, the person who shows up second has had to do the work. I always think of that stupid Buried Alive challenge. Say it's stupid because I would never want to do it. But where one partner had to dig their partner out of basically the ground. Not basically, the ground.
Literally
the ground. So agreed with you there. And it shows Fessy's lack of experience really with the show, even though that goes back and forth. But I'm convinced now he's like never seen the show. And generally, I think this is mostly a new crop. I think with Casey and Leroy, it's a toss up, right? Like both of them are strong enough to be the ones going or staying. So I think for them, it was really like, meh, whatever. What you bring up for Kyle is a great point, because I think everyone would admit, including Nani, that Kyle and Nani have a low chance to win just any given challenge against the field right now. So assume you're going to lose if you do the same thing as everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah, for everyone else, it makes sense just to play it safe. Like, don't risk it. Like, everyone else, like, you know, if they don't win, there's a good chance we know is going to go in. But yeah, for Kyle, like, roll the dice. Do something. Like, see what might happen. It would have played out perfectly for him, too. So it's a bummer he didn't take that chance here.
I mean, Cam, jumping ahead, like, wins this basically single-handedly. I think if Corey went and Cam stayed, and sorry, if Corey stayed and Cam went, they lose, I think, to the women. Corey's not doing that math for shit.
Probably, yeah, probably not. That's a good point, because obviously that played a big factor. So yeah, that could have been a big factor. And Cam, I mean, she was there for like half a second, seemingly. It was ripping through, like she had a back calculator. So,
But yeah, we get confessionals where people are saying Fessy has no respect for his partners. I was happy this week that we finally, again, it was motivated by strategy, but finally someone says something to Fessy's face about him, like, not respecting his partners, because I was getting a little sus myself, or just frustrated that everyone's talking about how terrible he is in confessional and nobody's talking about it in the house.
Yeah, that means it's clearly, this is like a thing. It isn't a postseason analysis, that thing. Like, this is something that everyone's talking about, at least at this point. Like, it's caught up to the people in that remaining in the house that this is something that now Fessy has a reputation about, that he is not a good partner. He doesn't know how to, like, motivate people. He doesn't know how to work with people. He's self-centered. That's how he motivates himself. And he just is not a good person to work with. And that's now the reputation that he's had from 3 or 4 partners. So it's not a one-off thing.
Fessy needs to, like, look around and learn from these vets, right? He's certainly not the first person and not the worst person at being rude to their partner, right? Like, Battle of the Seasons comes to mind as like a horrific, yep, like, verbal abuse, yep, situation of people, yep, with their partners. So Fessy's by no means the worst. He's not even at times the worst example. Like, definitely CT has outdone him on this season in terms of disrespecting, yep, his partner. But look at the results. It definitely takes work and communication, but look at the results CT got and CT and Big T got when you treat your partner with respect and build them up. Darrell and Amber, like, there are examples of people lifting their partner up and getting results from them. And I'm tired of Fessy making the excuse of, I can't compete because I have trash partners, and that's it, I'm just saddled with them.
Yeah, this was a big time Fessy excuse train episode. And yeah, I mean, a lot of the times that they've lost, I mean, he's the one who kicked Nani in the face. That's why they lost that challenge. Nani didn't do anything. So yeah, he needs to take a look in the mirror and understand some of the reasons they lost is just directly because of him.
Working in a team is a part of the challenge. A small team, a big team, working with different personalities, working with different, absolutely, physical and mental abilities. Like, it's extremely frustrating to hear him excuse this. But from his perspective, like, I get it. I would not want to be saddled. Like, if you work on a group project, right? And you're like, oh, like, this person's not pulling their weight, whatever. It's frustrating. But like, he played on football. Wow, Allie. He is a football player on a team. Like, it's really kind of inexcusable to me that he's not able to bring that part of it to the game.
Yeah. And just, you know, give people a chance. Like, obviously, Amber didn't do well here, but, like, he was, like, already with the expectation of, like, Amber's going to suck. Like, see, maybe she'll perform best when she's with you. Like, you know, you got to at least start out with a positive mindset before things go south.
I'll start with a positive mindset for the first time ever. I look forward to the day that we're talking about Fessy 2.0, who's got the athletic ability and understands, maybe not all the strategy, like, that's fine, but, like, the social game of it and being a team player. Let's see.
Yeah, maybe someone will be cutting the crust off his sandwiches one day.
Oh, my God. I was dead at that. That was so cute.
They're the best.
Are we getting one of our favorite finale? Whoops. Daily types, mm-hmm. The mini final we often talk about. Yeah, TJ called it a mini final too. Yep. How did you like the one-sided mini final?
I was good with it. I'm a little over the math. I think you brought this up before. I'm with you. Like, I'm over the math. Like, give me some carnival games. Like, I like those. Those are more, hey, they're more visually appealing to watch than trying to, like, see someone do math, where it kind of makes me feel stupid because I'm like, I don't know, can I, like, solve that right now? Probably not. So, like, I don't want to, like, make myself feel stupid than watching. I'd rather watch someone try to toss, you know, like a ball in a can or something like that. I wish they would bring more of those back in the mix as the checkpoints.
I'm so glad I don't even have to say it. I totally agree with you, especially both of them. Really, like, it's just testing mm-hmm. one skill. That's like a you know it or you don't. Like, Amber could not do the multiplication in her head, and it was hard. They're like, oh, it's not that hard. 728 or something times 9. Don't at me on how to figure it out. Like, when you have pressure, and like you said, Fessy's already expecting you to be shit. He's treating you like shit. You have that mounting pressure. It's your first season. I think someone said that in the volcano, like, it's her first mm-hmm. time under pressure, not in her life, but in this game. And that's hard, objectively. And the mm-hmm. other complaint I have is, why are they not timing her out of this? This is a you know it or you don't situation. Checkpoints should be equalizers and not total game enders.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you have any social this week, but she actually had even a better explanation for why she was not good at this. I don't know if you saw her tweet about it. Probably not.
Okay. I did see this, but I did not.
She wrote, y'all, you know, I suck at math. Yeah. LOL. I have what's called dyscalculia, aka number dyslexia. It is a disability that I've lived with my entire life. Literally, I've always struggled. Not my strong suit, but I tried my hardest.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. It shouldn't be math, but if it is math, it should be a 5-minute penalty or what, not 5-minute penalty, yeah. But like 5 minutes total, whatever. I don't know how long it took them all to solve it, but.
Yeah, and also when they do math, it's like more fun of like if it's, you know, like super easy math that they can't figure out. Like if you're doing like 5 times 4 and you're like struggling, like doing like 763 times 13, like that's hard. Like I don't care who you are, try to figure out that's like hard to do. Like that's not funny to watch them struggle. Like the reason why like trivia and spelling is funny is because it's like they're spelling, you know, like trailer, and there's, you know, adding like random letters to it and like screwing up. That's what makes it funny. When it's hard math, like that's not even entertaining.
I'm with it. I'm with you. And Amber B gets to the checkpoint first, so she's competitive in terms of the running. Mm-hmm. So this was an unfair treatment of her completely to me. I thought this ended up being kind of interesting as sort of like a quote unquote audition for the women when the men were going to be picking new teams in the elimination. So I think that was sort of like a happy accident for this to be just like one-sided, all the women competing. Casey underperforms here.
Big time. Very, very, very surprising. And everyone notes it. Like they were stunned to see Nani beat her there. Like she didn't beat her by a lot, but the fact that she beat her at all was very surprising. And Ed's, you know, if you want like a little boost of confidence for Leroy and Nani going into next week, that'll give you the boost. That's, you know, Nani beat her 5-mile run. That's not nothing. And she, you know, 2 checkpoints along the way and beat her to the volcano.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I was just tricked by the magic of television, but I thought Nani whooped her. It wasn't like
they were fighting over the basket.
Like Nani had clearance.
Yeah, but very impressive. I mean, you know, we all know Nani comes through when the competition gets fiercest, and she's coming through.
You're so mean to Nani.
But she brings it on herself. She's like, after 11 seasons, people are still underestimating me. Like, yeah, Nani, we still are because you're not that good.
Okay, look, I don't want to hear about it. We have 1 week of sending pure positive vibes for a Nani and Leroy win. Speak that into existence, listeners, and Brian, heed my words. Like, hell hath no fury like me if Nani and Leroy don't win this thing. No. So I don't want to start with you, Brian. Don't start with me. No, whatever.
No more negative Nancy. I'm positive Patricia over here about Nani.
And you think all you're positive. Smooth. You do it subtly, but it's apparent. It's like Fessy not wanting his partners. It's right in my face.
Right. Okay. Oh, that was my last joke. Nani's the best. Here we go.
Your full chest, like none of this bullshit. I mean it.
The journey, 11 years later, Nani and Leroy, the culmination. This is it.
Brian, visualize truly. Close your eyes. Sit down. You're sitting down. You lying down. You're sitting down. It's personal, but
I'm sitting down.
Okay. Plant your feet firmly on the ground. I want all the listeners listening to do this too. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath like it's the only anesthetic you're getting for a finger bent half the other direction. Okay. Ooh. And look into the future. See the final. See the snow-covered mountains in a climate where you didn't even think had snow. That's not the case here. But like, see TJ bundled up while people are sweating. He's standing there. See the challenge flags waving in the whipping winds. And see Leroy and Nani struggling but confidently approaching TJ with disbelief and hunger in their eyes, and visualize TJ putting his precious finger on an air horn and declaring them the winners of the challenge, double agents.
I just got the chills.
Hear the terrible 80s music that will play in the background too loudly and see it and say it with me. It's happening.
This is it.
That made me sweat.
That was beautiful.
I'm sweating.
That was beautiful. Oh my God. Just start writing books.
Listen to that.
Into the picture.
Every day, every hour on the hour until the final.
Well, I said I'm hosting prayer circles every day. I started one today. So this is now the second one. This will be everyone's, you know, whatever the next day it is, Friday. This is everyone's Friday prayer circle. We'll organize one for the weekend and we'll get going.
This final's taking me straight into 30 because we're going to be podcasting right after the finals. Surprise. And that's going to be an ordeal because I'm putting champagne in the fridge. Either way, I'm like Michael Scott. We're going to be happy drinking. We're going to be sad drinking.
But no matter what, we'll be embracing the alcohol, which I feel like, by the way, I feel like you've been getting alcohol a bad rap on your mistress podcast. I don't know what the heck happened last week, but you were saying on this podcast, we trash alcohol. We are very publicly a pro alcohol podcast over here. So
we constantly say about. Alcohol was the enemy, and I'm gonna say it tonight when we talk about Shoshone and Kitty.
Okay.
We've been saying that for years.
It's the enemy for the people on the show. It's the pro for us, the viewer.
I've been saying such nice things about you on that podcast. You got me this mug. I talked about it on the podcast, and that's what you come to me with.
Yes, that was the
accusing me falsely of trashing alcohol.
That was it. That was the big takeaway.
Well, I've got a sober homer on the other end of that podcast. It's a very different vibe. Both good. Both good. Just different.
But I thought me and Akeem were the same. I thought that was like your running theory.
You're the Well, I don't really know you to be a big drinker. I don't know you not to be a big drinker, but I don't know what you're doing.
I have more. What was the name of the wine he said he
Buzz wine?
Blitz? Buzz. Blitz.
Blitz would be better. Like, you want to start a winery? Blitz wine?
It's not a bad name.
It's not great.
It's not a bad name.
It'll appeal to that Sunday football wine crowd.
Yeah.
Blitz wine.
It's probably not better as a beer, I guess.
No, I think we could make a new market. We could carve out a new niche.
Yeah, you chug wine, you chug the Blitz wine, you smash the can on over your head. The combo.
All right, let's we'll work on that off air. I don't want to give any more ideas to the crowd.
No, can't do that. Can't do that.
I am so sweaty, honestly, from that visualization. Like, it's really rough.
I literally had the chills. I had the chills after. It was, oh man. Next week's going to be a lot. It's going to feel like I'm watching like a playoff game here.
This is it. This is the Super Bowl, baby. It's a playoff. Yes. All right. So, Cam, this was pretty funny. Cam, and I love Corey here giving all glory to Cam. That's my puzzle queen. Cam, who keeps such meticulous track of her nicknames, is like, I've never been called that before. And you know what? I believe her. It's hard to believe no one's called her that, but I know if anyone would know, it's Killa.
Wait, so is she taking that over from Sarah? Is she now Killa. The puzzle person?
Killa.
She's the puzzle. I also love when they were starting the puzzle and Cam was like, just let me do my thing. Just let me do my thing. Corey's like, yep, just do it. That's why Corey's like just having a fantastic year. Like, if that, like, we saw that with when she was with CT, they were battling over who would do it. Corey's like, just do it. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, when you have a complimentary pair, and I mean, we could jump to this. Like, I understand why Fessy picks Casey, and I think they have a good team dynamic, but I think Cam would be a much more complimentary partner skill set wise.
For Fessy. Oh, definitely. I mean, Cam is, I think, by far the most well-rounded woman left, and maybe even to start. I guess we don't really get to see Natalie like do a lot of this stuff, but I mean, it's probably her and Natalie would be top two going. Look, now that we see everyone do this season, I think clearly they are the top two.
What a credit to Natalie that we're still talking about her in this. But I agree. But I think you go Cam's experience, right? So, like, I agree with you that Cam was should have been the first overall pick. Obviously, CT, LOL, blew that. But, God, I'm rooting for Nani and Leroy. Like, I've never rooted for anyone or anything in my life. But, God, am I happy to see Corey in the final with Cam.
Yeah, I mean, Corey, I was going to say, obviously, like, prayer circles all around for Nani and Leroy, but Cam and Corey are a good backup option, just for, like, for Cam's sake, to how much she's, like, dominated this season, for Corey to see how far he's come. He's become, like, seemingly like a much better person. He's still a good competitor and everything, so if it can't be Cam and Leroy, and I'm not going to even, Nani and Leroy, sorry, Nani, all positives to Nani, Cam and Corey are a good secondary option.
All right. Timestamp around 30 minutes into the podcast. If you want to go back next week, if Corey and Cam do win, which they won't, but if they do win, to go back and listen, it's like a letter to yourself, like reminding us it's okay. We're going to be okay.
Should we film a video and like,
yeah, that was it.
Yourselves?
That's what you just said.
Okay. Okay, good. All right.
Life's better with American Family Insurance because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Some people, we were getting into it on Twitter. Was it Tom Palmer I was having this conversation with? Sorry if it wasn't. about like he was making the argument that Corey and Cam would be better for the franchise win than Nani and Leroy. And I agree with that. But we've been putting in the work. We've been here for 10, 15 years with these people, and the franchise is going to be fine. Cam is the head of the franchise. She's the... Well, I won't say it because that's a curse here, but she is the opposite of the history of the show that we're talking about, and she's the future of the challenge. She doesn't need this win right now. I don't care about the franchise. I want the closure. I want the... Yep. Go out on a bang, like Cam said.
Yeah, I mean, Leroy Ridding, like, that would be, like, the... They wouldn't... Like, MTV is good at, like, recognizing big moments in, like, their show. They will make a big deal if they're able to pull this off. Like, they'll recognize it as a huge moment, that as it should be, so...
It's hard because... I agree with you totally. It's hard because he's announced that he's not coming back, right? So it's, like, a goodbye to Leroy... I think a lot of the viewers, obviously the challenge has always had its fans, but I think the challenge, I have no reason basis for this, but I do think the new era, new day has dawned with the Brits and the BB people. A lot of new viewers are here. A lot of younger viewers who don't really appreciate the history, understandably, are here. And he's leaving. So it's not even like you can build like a to be continued on his back. So I get the argument, but like, the champagne is on ice. I don't care about anything else but that.
Totally. Absolutely. Absolutely. So we got Corey and Cam getting the win, which sets us up for either Kyle, Fessy, or Leroy. One is safe. Two of them are going in. And we actually have some interesting strategy to lay this all out.
Also, this is a minor thing, but like, did we really need to make Fessy and Amber do a walk of shame?
Oh, that was unbelievable. That was really funny. I enjoyed that. He's just like, oh, thanks for joining us. Like, I mean, you set them up for that, but it was very funny.
I wouldn't mind it if it was an objectively bad performance, but it's just like feeding Fessy's bullshit. And like, Amber got screwed to me by the challenge that there was no timeout and it was math. So, but like, in theory, it's a very funny thing. But I was like, really? After that whole thing?
Yeah, I wish they have done that all season. I think that would be a great addition. If the person who finishes last doesn't go into elimination, they should have to show up late for the winner announcement. I think that'd be great. Great secondary punishment.
But all right, as you were saying, I think we speculated this would be an interesting strategic week. Here we have it. Brian, this is what it looks like when it's an interesting strategic week and not someone choosing between their girlfriend and another girl that they know.
Yeah, no, it is. They lay it out pretty clearly that Kyle, one way or another, is going in. So it's basically they have to decide between Leroy and Fessy. And they spelled out that it's basically Casey's the swing vote, that if she wants to stick with her partner, with Leroy, then Fessy will be the house vote, and then Kyle will go in. And if not, then Leroy will be the house vote, and then Kyle will go in.
What I love about this version of Leroy, where has this Leroy been for the past 10 seasons? Leroy has been a player who has been willing to swing with the power, right? Like, he famously was like working with Wes when that was like some big betrayal, whatever. But like, Leroy goes with bananas most of the time in his seasons and doesn't necessarily think of the best strategic move for himself. This Leroy has not one, not two, but three plans to avoid elimination. And each one of them would be sufficient and impressive on their own. We're like, yeah, you laid it out. The A plan is convince Casey to turn on Fessy. The B plan is get everybody to convince Fessy to throw himself in. And then the C plan is get Kyle to go against his best interest and vote in Fessy. And honestly, at every step of this plan, this three-part plan unfolding, I was blown away.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to give credit a little bit to Cam here for basically being Leroy's like protege of like teaching him like how to properly do strategic thought. Because I think him hiding behind Bananas all those years, he probably didn't think about much. He probably just like, oh, I'll let Bananas deal with all this stuff. I'll just chill and have fun. Meanwhile, Bananas is probably doing whatever was is best for him. Cam's doing whatever is best for both of them, which is obviously a key difference. And then he's able to start coming up with some of these plans on his own. Like we saw Cam earlier this year giving Leroy tips about what things to do. And here Leroy's coming up with some things. I wish Cam stepped up and stopped Leroy from doing one of the things this week, especially for Cam's own sake. But I mean, the thought was all there.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cam gets credit, Nani, Cam, and Corey get credit for convincing Fessy to throw himself in. Maybe Corey in the number one spot there in terms of like that working. And that's out of allegiance and respect for Cam that Corey does that. So totally agree. And then, I think Leroy comes in with the best possible pitch to Casey, which is not like you owe me something. It's they're going to pick you. So like they don't want their partner. So you're helping your friend Fessy by giving him the push to go in and then pick you for me. Like that's an incredible level of thinking that yes, Cam would think of Leroy. I give him credit for this. That like most people on the show would come like a Kyle would say, you owe me because we were partners.
Yeah, it was weird though with Leroy, some of Leroy's confessionals that he was resenting it almost that like, oh, they set this all up from the jump that like at the last second Fessy and Casey would team up. Do you think that's been like this mess? Like obviously Fessy would want to be with Casey, but like I don't think they were playing Leroy this whole time. I think they were just wanted to work together because they saw themselves as like their friends and want to be partners. Like, those confessionals were, I didn't fully get it.
Yeah, I agree. The confessionals from Leroy definitely felt out of place to what he was saying, because later when we're in the barbershop, he says, like, I'm not willing to go down and defend my partnership with Casey. And I know you guys are going to take Casey. And he was trying to like Casey was trying to convince Fessy to throw himself in, which is what aligned with what Leroy wanted. So who cares what rationale she's giving? Like, I don't know if they coached him to say that. They edited out him saying other stuff. If he's just venting in confessional, because like, yeah, it's probably annoying. Like, maybe it would be better if Casey was somehow saying like, I'm going to vote you in and tell you I don't want you to pick me. But that's crazy. That's unrealistic. So I agree. I mostly dismissed his confessionals because they just didn't jive at all with what I was seeing in the episode.
Yeah. So Devin asks, why do Cam and Leroy not realize their best options for Leroy to go down so he can keep Casey as a partner? If he gets stuck with Amber or Nani, he's losing. So should they have swung this around and embrace Leroy going down?
So in that situation, Leroy's house vote.
Leroy's house vote, or Kyle could be house vote. I mean, it's really just keeping Fessy out and it's Leroy versus Kyle.
Well, I think Leroy can't do that without seeing the elimination. And maybe there's a world where he did say that to Cam. I mean, I'm making this up completely because I think he just bar none didn't want to go in. Right. But like with Cam in the driver's seat, maybe you do think like, all right, let me put in Fessy so that I can't go in. And then I decide if I want to go in against Fessy, if it's a puzzle, if it's whatever. But honestly, and I think I was higher on Leroy's chances before, Leroy's losing to Fessy here. Leroy tells you he's losing to Fessy here in Hall Brawl if he's in it. Kyle, I'm not sure, but I don't think Casey's a good enough partner to warrant risking losing. Where I think Casey is, I'm sorry to the Amber B lovers. I think I do think for Fessy's game, knowing that he's got 10 more seasons in him, this is a worthwhile move. For where Leroy is with it's his last season and his worst option is Nani, I think you stick and you don't go in the elimination.
Yeah, I agree with.
Took me a long time to get there, but.
No, but I agree with you with both counts. I think for Leroy, the right move is to let it. I honestly think the best move for Leroy was what he presented, which was have Corey go in. Like, that works out best for him. It doesn't really work out what's best for Cam, but for Leroy individually, that's what is best for him, because then he could end up with Cam as a partner, theoretically, or something like that. So that's what works best for Leroy, I think.
Yeah. They seemed 100% confident, but were they really 100% confident of what would happen if Corey and Cam split their vote and Cam votes for herself to go in?
I mean, they were just using the same logic that we've been, right? That typically when the top team disagrees, TJ says, all right, you're both going in. And then in this case, just the guy would go in, you would think. But I mean, there's no definitive stance exactly what would happen. TJ, theoretically, could have just, you know, did whatever you want there. But they were using the same logic that we've been using.
I would be very worried that in this situation where there's no second most votes or whatever, like, worried enough if I'm in the situation that if Cam votes themselves and Corey votes in Kyle, if you can't decide, both teams with votes are safe and the last remaining team goes in and Leroy is going in. I would be worried about that. I don't think that's like super likely, but I do think it's a little cheap that one person can basically throw the whole team in if the other person disagrees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, again, yeah, it's a challenge. So yeah,
yeah, we saw this kind of play out with Devin and Gabby, right? That was the conversation we had. Like, why doesn't Gabby just force the hand when they were the power team? And that would be an instance where they could have tried it, and obviously would have known what they would have done. But yeah, we just never found out what would have happened if the double agents disagreed.
Yeah, I think it's so... I genuinely think Leroy... Well, I don't know. Do you genuinely think Leroy wants to run the final with Nani?
No, I think he wanted to run it with Casey. I think he really formed like a bond and a closeness with her with how well they've done. And I don't think Leroy if Leroy went down there and he could have even picked his partner, I don't think he would have picked him. I think he would have just stuck with Casey with how well they've been doing. I think he would have completely wrote it out with her.
So I asked it the wrong way, not over Casey, but I guess the question of whether Corey would have been the right move is like, would Leroy risk his game to avoid ending up as partners with Nani? Because he might end up having to go in then. And if his worst outcome is Nani, I don't think that's so bad. And I think Leroy's doing a good job of convincing me that he's really happy to be with Nani, whether or not mm-hmm. that's just because he respects her as a friend. But I also kind of disagree. Maybe this is crazy. I think if he ends up getting thrown in, especially part of it is at Casey's hand, he might pick Cam. Because even the last time he had to pick Casey, he like looked to Cam and Cam like shook her head. And at this point where they're pretty sure they'd be locked in as a team, I think he might have picked Cam.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess with her being the double agent, that would have been off the table anyway. But
yeah, true.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It would have been interesting. But I don't know. Nani's not like a disastrous partner by any stretch, for sure.
No,
Nani's a great partner to have. She's a great partner.
No, see, I preferred when you said she's not a disaster because that was true and from your heart. I feel like the rest was like almost sabotage. What does a Brian Cohen prayer circle look like for Leroy and Nani? You lighting candles?
I'm not a candle. You know what? Fun fact about me, I'm not the best at lighting candles. I screw up with the match. I try when I bend the candle to try to like light it, I screw it up. I feel like I'm gonna burn myself. I'm not good with fire, so that's not my thing. I feel like I died of fire in a previous life. I don't know, not my thing. So I just do a lot of like deep breathing. Yeah, a lot of deep breathing.
Deep breathing.
Yeah, picturing. Well, your description really helped. I'm gonna be thinking about that all week.
Can your wife light the candles for you? Going to be a team effort. Yeah.
She could do that. She's the candle lighter in the household. That's what we remember. We discussed what tasks we all do. She's the candle lighter.
Hanukkah must be a real nightmare for you. 8 days of just pure hell. Hell.
She does it. She lights them all.
How do you feel about being around fire? Are you okay with being around fire?
No, I'm good with being around fire. I'm just not good at lighting it. I don't know. I'm just not good. It's not a skill. Like if a Final Four vote me in, I will lose.
How do you feel about like a lighter, like not a small one, but like, you know, a big like parents lighter? I feel like your mom has that in a drawer, that big one, the trigger.
I'm okay with it. I didn't like fireworks. I didn't like what's the one you hold and like the sparklers.
Sparkler.
I didn't like sparklers. Yeah, I didn't like a sparkler as a kid. I always thought it would fly back on my face. I don't know.
Still learning things about you.
You're getting a little tease of our 6-year anniversary podcast, right?
Seven.
Here.
It's gonna be our seventh inning stretch.
I know. It's crazy.
I think the end of the challenge All Stars will take us like right there.
It probably should, right? It's 9 weeks, so yeah, so it'll take us till the beginning of June. Just about.
Oh, all the fun to look forward to, guys. Okay.
Oh man.
I can't believe it's almost been a year since we said we would do that. That's so us. That's like so the challenge wrap up.
Yep.
All right. So I love Cam and Nani ganging up on Fessy. I love Fessy like, oh, they're just saying this because of Leroy. And then he does it anyway. But I think, I think the edit did Fessy no favors because there's a way to edit this episode where Fessy makes a brilliant, strategic, confident, legendary, as Corey says, move. And then there's the way they edited this episode.
Yeah, I totally agree. They could have made Fessy look much better if they wanted to, because it would have been weird for him to immediately think this is the move. Like, it was smart for him to like think about it for a while. Like, it is risky to voluntarily put yourself into the last elimination before a final, where in other situations, we're mocking someone to do this. Now, in this situation, there is logical sense and it makes sense, but it is almost a good indication for him that he took his time to like make sure this is what he should do, because that's the smart thing, not jump all over it. But they really did a great job. The girls were it was basically good cop, bad cop. The girls were the bad cop, and you know, trying to like egg him on, and then Corey playing up to his ego. It was like the perfect combo to get him to do it.
And even Casey, like, it was so easily the right move, though, because again, like, and to Fessy's credit, Fessy wants to win every season he comes for. So someone else who's really only got their mind on like longevity and making a name for themselves and whatever would have made this move more quickly. Like a Devin almost, I think, would have made this move more quickly because it's so obviously right. Fessy's going to be invited back. There's nothing he could do this week that would make him, he could fail in the challenge, he could lose his elimination, like he's getting invited back. So you're not winning with Amber. Your likelihood of winning with Amber is very low, especially with his mentality around her, towards her. So like, go to the elimination. Like, save yourself the effort of having to be in the final if you're not going to win. Mm-hmm. You're not beating Casey and Leroy, at least.
No, yeah, absolutely. Especially when the prize out there for his potential partner is his good friend and Casey. Like, it makes so much sense for him to go for it. Even like we're with Cam, like they, you know, it's not like they have that great of a working relationship. Like, oh, maybe like, I don't know, chemistry or whatever might not work. But like with Casey, it's like, this is the person that he would want to run it with. So it, you know, it's was set up there perfectly.
I did feel bad through all of this with Amber, right? Because like Cam is strategically saying things that are hurtful towards Amber and like exposing how terrible Fessy and Kyle have been. And it gets to Amber, which is sort of like Anissa rolled with the punches, I think, because she's used to it, sadly. But like, that's how I would have reacted, the way Amber reacted.
Yeah. And then just what a flip of a switch. At first, I'm like, Cam's being so nice. She's coming in, trying to build her back up. This is so sweet. And then the confessional, like, oh, I'm just doing this to make sure she votes in Fessy to save Leroy. I'm just playing her right here. I was like, geez, Cam, keep the game switch on. Good for you. But man, that's rough.
I mean, she does say, like, everything I'm saying is true. Like, they do talk about the world women horribly. But yeah, like, Cam, that's the perfect, like we say, and because Rob says this, like, don't lie to me in confessionals. Like,
yeah,
Cam is going to tell you she is so in control and aware of her game that she can articulate what she's doing in each beat. And I almost think some people who lie to the confessionals are like lying to themselves. Like, they don't really understand what they're doing, and they don't have enough strategic awareness and self-awareness. And Cam just like has it in spades.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Don't get me wrong. It was great. It was just like, I just didn't expect that confessional when she was going on. Like, yeah, I just don't like how, you know, the guys are talking about all the girls being layups, which, you know, they totally are, but, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm saying that to build her up. I was like, oh, okay, we gotta kill Cam, She's here.
It's honestly like the opposite, because then Corey gives confessional like, look, yeah, I'm gassing up Fessy, but like, I make everyone happy. I help my partner's boyfriend. I help this. It's like, Corey, you get rid of Fessy, best case scenario, who you don't want in the final, and you know you're keeping your partner because you're sending someone in who's definitely going to pick Casey. Whereas Kyle, I don't think it's a definite that Kyle would pick Casey and not Cam. So Corey, not able to really articulate, and I think he believes what he says, but like, he should only be doing it for those two reasons, not to make everybody happy.
So for the third facet of Leroy's plan, do you think he tipped Cam off to it before they had that group powwow telling Cam what was going to happen? Because if he's blindsiding her in that moment with, like, I think CT and Kyle were there, like, when he was going over the plan, that's, like, if I was Cam, I would, like, take Leroy aside after and be like, that's not the way you tell me, like, how this is going down.
Hard one to read. And I know Cam and Leroy have been releasing sort of, like, recaps on YouTube. I might check that one out because... yeah, the edit obviously had us believe that that was first laid on Cam at that moment. If it was, it had to be quick. It had to be in that moment, I'm sure. My guess would be if Leroy told Cam, Cam probably was like, this will be your mess. You'll handle it. Just like she said to confessional. Because I think... mm-hmm. I think it's easy to say in hindsight that that was a bad idea, but I actually don't think it was a bad idea because none of them really thought that Fessy was going to go in. And Corey, who knew the night before that Fessy was going to go in, should have told Cam that. And then that would have resolved the whole thing.
This is one of those where I'm actually curious to see how it plays out at the reunion, because this is one of those like half measures where they didn't do it, but once it gets, you know, Corey's going to see this play out, and he basically did the betrayal without doing the betrayal. So I'm very curious to see how Corey takes this, especially going into another season where he might do it with Cam, if that comes into play, because she was very close to blindsiding him here in a very brutal way. So I'm very curious to see how Corey reacts to this when he finds out about it on the show.
See, we have reverse situations now from how we normally feel. I don't think Corey will care at all about this, and I don't think they were actually that close to doing it, right? Like, I think the show needed the intrigue of, like, it's not just going to be a straight, obvious Kyle goes in. I think it would have been more interesting if the vote mattered. Like, then I really do think Leroy and Cam might have considered it more. But I wouldn't be surprised if this play was just, and we're going to screw Kyle over. Like, we're never doing
it. Yeah, that's like, so you think they were just like toying with Kyle? Because Kyle clearly thought it was going to happen just based on how he reacted to being voted in, unless he was putting on a front, but I don't think he was. So I think he thought it was going to happen. So did you just think they were just toying with him?
I think Kyle, and I love Kyle now this season, but I think Kyle's the biggest schmuck on this show. Because Kyle is great at confessionals. He's fun. He's funny. Everyone loves him. We love him. Amazing. He's a good competitor. Great. Kyle has zero agency in this season. Kyle is constantly at the mercy of these crazy deals that will never work, just like last episode. Like, Kyle is always hanging by a thread. And that's a failure on Kyle's part. Like, Kyle needs to be better at building relationships and not being expendable to his main allies. Kyle never, and we said this last week, like, Kyle did not count Cam in his allies last week. He was like, I am alone with Amber B, who's my partner, and CT and Big T, because they're also alone. So when somebody who has their own self-interest in mind comes over and extends a handshake and says, I'll do this, what the hell does he have to lose? He's going against Fessy or he's going against Leroy. I'll take the one in a million shot that this pans out. And I thought he really overdid it with the heartbreak at the end, so much that I thought it was maybe a strategic thing. One, for camera; two, for sympathy; three, for a potential rival season with Cam and early Roy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. I wonder if this is the price that Kyle's is paying now for his reputation that CT and a bunch of other people bring up, that he was, in his early seasons, he was like more snaky. He was the one going back on deals and doing whatever he can. And this could be the price he's paying now, where no one really views him as a number one or number two because they just don't really trust him.
He's still snaky, right? Because he's still willing to make any deal possible. Sure, I'll turn on Fessy. Sure, I'll turn on that. Like, as long as it's not me. And that doesn't really fly in the Challenge House. So look, I normally like to watch what's on the TV show. This I thought was just so ridiculous that I never thought it was happening. But that might be my own Corey bias.
Yeah.
Happy belated birthday to Ryder K, who turned 4.
Aw, a very cute picture of the full family. The birthday party is very sweet.
The surprise slime birthday party on her actual birthday, or the early Under the Sea theme birthday party a week ago?
I can't tell which one. I don't know. I just know there was one where Cheyenne and Corey were wearing the shirts that said like father and mother to Ryder, and then the other others now wearing shirts.
The real one.
Okay. That one.
No, but so yeah, I mean, I think reasonable minds may differ on this whole situation with Kyle, but yeah. I think this episode really, this is the third or fourth episode this season where Kyle's fate in the game hangs in the balance of some cockamamie scheme.
Yep. It does. Yeah. He's always like, oh, so you're saying I got a chance. Like that's his theme of the season.
But all right. What did you think of Fessy's letter in the deliberation?
Very odd. I don't know what producer got him to like write this, but kudos to that producer for once again setting Fessy up for just a brutal moment. I mean, I don't know what they like said to him, like, oh, you should write out a heartfelt letter. And I love he's like reading it straight off the paper, and he probably wrote in the paper like turn to Amber. Like, this is not about you, when it's, you know, as Leroy said, this is, or Corey said, this is like 100% about Amber. Letter was nothing. Meh.
A lot of great letters in MTV history. This will not go down as one of them. I mean, I think to Fessy's credit, he handles this one moment in a way that could be respectful, or as respectful as possible to his partner, in the way we've criticized like CT for not doing, Kyle for not doing. But in context of all of the terrible stuff he's done and talked about his partners, it doesn't really hold much weight. Thank God they interject a great Kyle confessional over the reading of this letter, because I was miserable. And then Kyle's like, Fessy reads like a robot, and I fell out of my chair.
Yeah. Kyle's confessionals would be great. But I mean, Fessy, like, he was nice to his partner, but like then right in the confessional, he like turned it around, like spat on her. Like, obviously Amber is not stupid. She knows it's because he wants to leave her, so she's emotional. And then Fessy goes, oh, why does she have to make it about her? It's because it's about her. Obviously she's gonna be upset. You're like doing this full grand gesture so you can like have your opportunity to leave her.
Well, I died because this was a huge you're drinking game rule from last week, right? Like, I forget what your rule was. It's like I knew it when I saw
lacking,
it like this
self-awareness, right?
Yeah, lacking, this was 100%. This was like why you made, somehow you went into the future, watch this episode, and then came back and put, I don't know why you'd use that power to just make a drinking game rule, but then it became the exact right rule on the list.
Yeah, and we'll have to find out if Kyle included, because this one and even Fessy saying someone needs to earn their stripes, like even that one, like look in the mirror there, buddy.
Yeah, well, and then also there's some slight overlap with my rule from last week, which is like anytime someone says something you'd be embarrassed to have said, just like,
right,
I really think the earned your stripes is there too. So Kyle, no pressure, but pressure. But all right, so I also think, I don't know that I think this, I kind of think they were never going to put Corey in there, but I do think Corey legitimately being a good, respectful partner to Cam and advocating that Fessy throw himself in and making Cam aware of that and delivering it to her in the perfect way, like, I wanted to protect your boyfriend, helped his case.
Yeah, I totally agree. And they were really setting up, like, their core was letting it on thick. It was almost like sitcom-y, like, oh, like, I know we're not going in. This is great. We're both safe. We're all three. We're safe. Leroy's safe. How great is this? No one's going to turn on each other. We're all so safe. It's good. Like, it's like, oh my God, they really setting Corey up for this. But yeah, I think how he handled it with Leroy and Cam, Corey did himself a lot of favors for sure.
When Kyle ends up getting thrown down to the crater, and were you surprised that Kyle didn't out the plan? Like, he sort of did, but he didn't really. Mm-hmm. I thought Kyle would have turned around and been like, hey, Corey, your partner and her boyfriend told me they were going to put you in.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because he started to do it. He was like, oh, I feel so betrayed by Leroy and Cam. And Corey must have been like, for what? Like, obviously you were going in, like, obviously they're not voting in Leroy. So, like, what was he betrayed by? So, yeah, I don't know. Unless I don't know why he didn't just go all the way there. Yeah, that was odd.
Which, again, you can spin that so easily. Like, we were never going to do that. We said it to get his vote. We had a lie to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. Like, I was never doing that. And okay.
Totally. Yeah, they could have written it off, but it still probably would have been the back of Corey's head, and maybe that, you know, messes them up as a partnership. Because right now they're riding high well together, Corey and Cam. So put that little doubt in Corey's head, maybe that impacts them.
Also, it's like, yeah, what's the consequence where, yeah, maybe in the future it screws them, but like, that's nothing that's going to not be revealed on the show. It would have been a fun TV moment. So Kyle usually takes those moments. So maybe he was more deflated than I'm giving him credit for. But in terms of the future of the game, they're going to the final. Like, and even if they weren't, Corey's not an idiot. He's not trading Cam because she threatened to cut him, you know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, Cam's not going to sabotage her game now to screw Corey over. So yeah, there, she's going to do her best no matter what.
But all right, let's talk about Hall Brawl. I mean, I was screaming. I was like, the ghost of Nelly T, karma's a bitch. If Fessy goes out on the elimination that he threw himself in and screwed his friend over for, and then unfortunately, we're promised five rounds, we get one.
Mm-hmm. We get one, barely even happens, because Fessy truck sticks Kyle, breaks a finger or dislocates a finger. He wins easily the first round. Then
he trucks Kyle, him.
Truck sticks. I don't know. I might stumble over truck sticks. Yeah, that's a phrase. That's,
truck.
That,
wait, he truck. No. This is like hardo where I just don't know it. He truck sticks him.
Truck sticks. It's like a Madden term, or truly a football term, but I know it from Madden.
Which
is when you run, like, over someone hard. Okay. Yeah, just run over someone.
Got it.
And Kyle takes off his helmet and I broke my finger.
I made it like I've never heard the two words truck and stick before in my life. Yeah, I mean, I love the line where Corey's like, let's hear those pads pop, boys. I don't think he meant finger pads, but that's, no. It was brutal to see that. It's rare we can see an injury so clearly.
Very clearly. And this led to one of the hardest moments I've ever left the show that I think I've ever in my life, where Kyle is so grimacing in pain and the medic touches the finger, like, does that hurt? And Kyle's like passing out for the pain. Like, yeah, but it hurts. Like, these medics, I don't know what they're doing. Like, obviously he's in agony pain and he's like twisting the fingers. Like, does this hurt? And I think one of them said, that sucks.
He said too bad. He said too bad, which I, because then TJ immediately says, like, you're out. So I graciously am going to say, like, generously going to say the too bad was like, it's too bad because you're about to be eliminated. Like, that's too bad for you. Like, it's like a European thing. But to have they put the subtitle there, too bad, because they want you to think the medic is savage.
It's not too bad. Fingers dislocated. Suck.
And credit to Kyle, who's like threatening to not have the medic look at his hand if they're going to pull him from the game. You know, they gave Kyle quite a send off here.
They did. And it's true. I mean, I guess at this point, you're better off being safe than sorry. But they let Kara have like a broken wrist and she was like competing with a cast. I mean, I feel like if Kyle like puts it in it, like if he gives the send off, I mean, you don't need a finger to do Hall Brawl theoretically. Like, I don't know.
I think they were considering it, but the amount of pain he seemed to be experiencing, like when they were like, breathe, I wasn't sure if they were seeing if he was like going to pass out or something. I don't know. I mean, it's definitely a shame to see someone go out. It's like Big T when she sliced her foot, like to us, like, oh, you dislocate your finger or whatever. But like, it seems like they reset his finger. That's no anesthesia, like, yeah. Which I mean, is crazy. And then it still was bent.
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have, you know, quit life if I had that agony of pain. So, you know, good for him to want to keep going. So
I love CT with the Kristen Cavallari dunzo quote. He's just like, nope, nope, dunzo.
Yeah. And Kyle again with a great send-off confessional, being like, you know, when I tell my grandkids about this, I'm going to say, oh, I broke all five fingers. Very funny.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, Kyle going out laughing even before he's like, you really did me in, you got me. And Fessy, again, to his credit, is a great competitor, staying in the zone, not being phased. But like, if CT did that, I'd be like, oh, that was so cool, whatever. But like, then the challenge ends and Kyle is just like taking it in, being emotional, being funny. And CT is still like, Fessy says, like, I have a lot of respect for you, whatever. But like, I don't know. I just feel like Kyle can do all of this with a laugh, which is so admirable. So basically, I look for the same things as Nani does.
Yeah, Kyle's a good person to be around, it seems like.
And then the way he goes out, like, he gives us the, I'm sure I'll see you in the future. This is my home. I love it here. Like, I love that he tweeted also, battered, bruised, and broken, but one thing stays the same. I effing love my job. Airplane emoji, stack of money emoji, American flag emoji.
Yeah, Kyle's a great, great person to have the show. I'll be very excited, assuming he's on the next season. To see his name on the cast list, he'll be great in every facet of the show you'd want to be in. And we'll have a dad Kyle, so we'll see how that changes him.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see you in the future, Kyle, and we will not forget you this time if we do a cast preview.
Yep. So Fessy obviously takes Casey.
They deserve each other.
There's no suspense with Leroy with the two options that he was going to take Nani, and then leaves Ember B with CT.
I have in my notes, first of all, I love his speech. Like, I've been rocking with this girl for 10 years. I watched him mature into this one. I mean, gross, but like, great. I have in my notes, just in all caps, Brian, in preparation to be like, Nani and Leroy are going to win this season together.
It's here. I mean, you visualize it. I see it already happening. So I can't wait to start the show next week with the pop and the champagne, because it's visualized. It's visualized that we're attacking.
Notice you. Notice in Lee and Nani winning the season.
And I know this is corny, but when TJ was like, let's effing go, I got fired up. And that was like, 18 episodes in. I know, but like, even more so when he was like, let's effing go to the final. Like, I was fired up. Like, yeah, let's go to the final.
Yeah, let's go. I was excited. I think this is the right time. They just got in. I mean, I think you're probably saying they're two episodes past this point, but like, they had me. It's fine. We're ready for the final now.
Yeah, you know what? This week was great. I thought last week was good too. So, you know what? Good for the show to push it forward. Keep it four teams instead of five. The pairings are pretty interesting. We have a question from Kyle Picard. Oh, Kyle Picard. Sorry, almost forgot your name.
Are these
the most even four pairs you can make with these final eight people?
I mean, it's tough, right? Because Fessy and Leroy... No, Fessy, that would be a great pair. Fessy and Casey. I feel like I underestimate Fessy on puzzles. Where are we at with Fessy on puzzles? Because Casey sucks at puzzles.
Yeah, Casey's not great. I think all four guys are like fairly equal. Yeah. Like, they all, obviously, some of them are better with some things than others, but you're not any discernible advantage or disadvantage with any of the four. And at this point, I think
Corey,
Cam... No,
I think Corey is the weakest. I love Corey. Corey is my heart and my soul. Definitely regret saying that. But in terms of the challenge, I think Corey is a small step below the three.
So if Corey's the weakest, then him being with Cam is definitely the fairest, because I think at this point, Cam is clearly the top.
I agree with that.
Woman going in. So I think that's the fairest.
But if you look at his weaknesses, right, assuming they'd be able to do everything in pairs, that it wouldn't be like one partner is going to do one checkpoint, the other partner's got to do the other. Corey cannot do puzzles in a way that Casey like can, but Corey can't. But if he's that's totally erased and equal neutralized by Cam, in which then it maybe goes up in the fairness calculation.
Yeah.
I'm not making your job easy. I'm not helping.
No, but I think it is pretty fair, because I think splitting, I mean, like, if you kept Leroy and Casey together, they've worked well so much that splitting them up, like, I know Casey, I mean, I guess probably the fairest, if you want to think about quote unquote the fairest, if you put Casey with CT just because they haven't worked together, and then put Amber back with Fessy, I think that's probably the fairest group of four.
I think the other thing that is going to hurt Fessy and Casey that maybe equalizes it is the lack of experience. They've both done a final, but they've done one, and there's a lot of variance, and the combined 20 plus years of experience with Nani and Leroy, I think helps, even though Casey's a quote stronger competitor than Nani.
Yeah. I think it's good that, you know, I don't see CT and Amber winning. So like, I think that would be by far the most shocking result, but I can see, obviously, like, I'm visualizing Leroy and Nani. That's why I'm saying this. But I could see the other three teams winning.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's going to be, it's not a runaway. And I feel like in the last few seasons, maybe not in the UK versus US season, but like when it's been individuals, it's been more or less only a couple people can win. I think this is, unfortunately, we know the results already that as you said, Leroy and Nani are going to win, but anyone could win.
Mm-hmm. And you don't see any scenario where they're mixing up partners during the final, right?
Of course I see a scenario where they're mixing up partners during the final.
Mm.
Like, I think anything's possible. I think the fact that we're down to just four teams, and TJ made such a big deal out of, like, you're a partnership, you're a partnership, you're a partnership. I think it's the most likely setup to not, but this is the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, expect the unexpected, whatever bullshit that they've ripped off from Big Brother. But I would say it's 30% chance there's a switch or an elimination. But I think most likely we're going to the end of the floor.
I could see there being some type of rogue agent scenario in the final. I don't know how they would do it, because I don't know how they would decide, like, which half of the pair they lose, but they do like to bring the themes in. Like, they had, I think they had, like, the flipping of the cards at some point, either in the free agents final or whenever they brought that back in that final. So they do like to try to sneak those things back somewhere in the final. So I don't know. Well, I hope they don't. I hope they just keep it clean. But
I think the way you would do it is you'd have, like, a male and female elimination, and the winner gets to pick a new partner, say the same or something like that. Or one half of your team has to do something and, like, you can switch. Like, I think you would have to, you'd have to eliminate something. I don't think it would just be a four team reshuffling.
Right. Yeah. There would be an opportunity for one person to win to switch partners. Yeah. That would be how they would do it. I don't know how they could do that, but that would have to be the scenario.
All right. Let's do a little soch. Casey tweeted randomly, April 10th, 2020, quarantine tip, work on yourself. Okay, hand emoji. Just a little inspiration from Casey. Cam said, I've been over partnered games for the longest. I meant that when I said I wish we all could compete individually. Makes me nervous about the final, but Fessy said, if you threaten someone's confidence rather than inspired, take a look in the mirror. You can do anything you want to in this world. Just got to believe even when they don't. Hashtag confident, not cocky. Hashtag get it right. Anyone who says I'm confident, not cocky, and disregards the opinion of millions, pretty cocky. Okay. Fessy says, I'm not on the challenge to be liked. I'm on the challenge to compete for $1 million. Fair. We have some drama from Millionaire Mitchell, of course. Who else? Oh, and Lolo Jones. You see this drama this week?
I didn't.
Ooh, what are you, been under a rock? All right. You've been trapped under a boulder at the mall? Anyone else doing a How I Met Your Mother?
Volcano. How that joke was right there for you. How do you not pick that up?
Because I'm doing a How I Met Your Mother rewatch, independent of Rob's apparent shade on Renap. Renap just trolls my life constantly.
You were a defender of the final season, and I thought I had to quit the podcast when I saw that, so.
Well, I'll probably watch it. So that's part of why I'm watching it. Just a quick digression, like, for a change. Oh my God, we still have to talk about the whole other episode. Never mind, we'll talk later. I forgot, I'm like, we're wrapping up, but geez, okay.
Yep. No, I got a whole other episode.
So basically, Lolo said, where is this? I'm looking at an Us Weekly article to help me out. Um, basically Ashley, I can't find the tweet. So Ashley said something to the effect of like, in response to just what was going on with, sorry, I'm going to try to quickly Google it so I can, but maybe I can't. But basically Ashley tweeted something like, imagine like casting entertaining people instead of professional athletes, like go figure, in reference to likely the, All-Star season. And Lolo like went all the way off, like mentioning all of these athletes who have like gone on to entertainment stuff, and was like, no one from the challenge, almost no one from the challenge has like done anything like that. And then that became like a lot of people, including Ashley, interjecting about all of the people who have had successful entertainment careers. Jamie Chung, Bananas, you know, gotta give him credit, he's getting a new show. The Miz, like they just like all of these people who have Devin, girl Devin, not boy Devin. And, you know, okay. So yeah, Lolo said, how many challengers get picked up for anything after they're done? Pretty much none after the challenge. That's it. Done. Or sorry, let me read these in order. Okay. I finally found it. Did I do a good job stalling? Probably not. Ashley said, so entertainers make better TV than athletes. Who would have guessed? And then Lolo said, tell that to LeBron. He just came out with a movie. JJ Watt and Tebow, Griffin, and the countless other athletes who have TV shows after their careers. How many challengers get picked up for anything after they're done? Pretty much none. And a ton of challengers responded, like Karamo, Miz, Jamie Chung, Bananas, Devins, and so many more amazing and talented humans from the challenge, Ashley said. So again, Lolo not making any friends on the challenge.
Nope. Doesn't seem like it. Does not seem like it.
And then I finally found my final project from RTVF 330, the class I took taught by Survivor legend Max Dawson, where I did an entire history of the challenge, and it is the worst project I've ever done. Maybe we'll talk about it when we have more time. With that, let's go to the drinking game.
Yeah. So, we Kyle list this week as 20/a lot. Because there were 12 subtitles. And then he notes lack of self-awareness, 1,000, literally every time Fessy talks.
That's a way to get the credit in.
Yep. And for someone sleeping in bed, he wrote everyone when TJ comes in at 5:30. There was one partner switch. He gave Amber timing out on the puzzle, but I don't think she timed out. So I'm going to remove that one.
That's tough. Is it a timeout when you literally, I don't think we've seen this. Like, I mean, I'm sure we've seen it, but like she did time out in that the challenge was over.
But that would mean that literally everyone timed out.
Or I was going to say, yeah, like then everyone timed out on like the, I see why he said it. I think that's a gray area.
It should have been like, it should have been a timeout, but they didn't blow the horn. So
look who's anti-alcohol now.
I know. Well, there's, you know, drink the 1,000 times for Fessy speaking, and you're all good. 5 Amber B's and 1 mispronouncing a word. I heard this too, and Fessy said flusterating. I heard that too. He like mispronounced frustrating. I heard that. I was like, did he edit an L there instead of an R? But I do that too sometimes, so I can't make fun.
Almost never. That was a lot. I like the I like flusterating. I feel like it's like flustered and frustrated.
Yeah, it should be a word. Should be a word.
All right, what are you adding this week? I had one and now I forget, so I have to start.
Right, so, well, I mean, this is obviously for the final, right? So I'll put any it's kind of simple. And if someone gets eliminated during the final, individual or pair?
I think I'm going to say anytime someone says love you, and that could have been the whole season. It really stuck out to me when Cam's like in the cave, the volcano, and she's like, love you, babe. Mm-hmm. Like they say love you, babe, in very funny situations. So let's say that.
Beep, and then, beep. Of course, we'll add pop the champagne when Leroy and Nani went. So add that too.
Yeah, well, now I've already said the beep, beep. Here come the DDs, Kate, Matt, and Stuart. We have regained our lead, Brian, because I lost points on Kyle. I gained points for us on Kyle getting medevaced. Can you believe it? Again, wow. Just the biggest loser in the history of losers. I go into the final with just Amber B, you love to see it. Lose points for Cam and Leroy, so we end up with, because you lose a point if they made the final. So we have a combined 16. I'm like Cam. My back hurts from carrying this team. I have 12 points on my own. Scally and Matt have 8 and 7 for a total of, quick math, 15. And we go in 1 point up on them into the final.
Which is big, because the fact that I have Leroy and Cam, but like when Leroy wins, that means Matt has Nani. So Nani would win. So those will cancel each other out.
But I wonder how are points. I forget how the points work. Like, do you lose if you lose the final? Do you get points? Because then all the they'll get rewarded just for having winning losers. Season.
Well, we all lost. Oh, well, making the final. Did they include points for that?
Yeah.
All right. So the only other points, unless there's an elimination, that could obviously play a factor. But other than that, it's just winning the season, assuming everyone's going to have a confessional.
Which, no disrespect, but if there's an elimination, I'm looking pretty good to have no people really left good. At the end. Yeah, so you're right. So unless Amber B, but and then same story, Amber B and CT, that's split teams too.
Yeah, so if there's no elimination in the final, we got this.
You know what? Justice has been served. Get the champagne early. No, I'm just kidding. But that, I mean,
if we could win this and Leroy wins, that what an accomplishment, man.
When we win and Leroy and Nani win.
Leroy wins. Yes. Well, Leroy winning is for sure. I just don't know if there's an elimination that could take away our win. We know Leroy is gonna. We don't know about our win.
All right. Let's talk about the Challenge All-Stars. Let's switch gears quickly.
Yep.
Finally, you've come around.
Yeah, I mean, I was definitely hard on it last week, and I think I just didn't know what to expect going in, and now I kind of know a little bit more what to expect, and I like it's like beat, beat, beat. Like, kept it nice and succinct, which I appreciated.
Yeah. I agree. I really like this episode. Not a lot of age stuff at all. The challenge had nothing to do with physicality. So again, I look forward to seeing the next one where how that plays, if it's like nobody can do it. But it was like it was honestly an impressive challenge, trivia challenge, and the elimination was good.
I thought the challenge was the biggest troll for you in the history of the world. Like, this was testing your knowledge of past seasons, and the fact that they included the clip of Julie being almost murdered after everything that went down from last week. I mean, that was perfect.
I said that to Scally because I thought it was you, and I messaged the wrong Brian, but I said to Scally, like, it's not even like which season did this happen on, or what two people did this happen to, or who did Julie try to unclip? But it was like the person. It was like the exact information I got wrong. But I loved it. Obviously, I got to make it about me, just like Amber B. You know.
Yeah. No. The challenge was great. The trivia questions were a lot of fun. I almost wish they didn't yada yada it as much. I wish wouldn't have taken that much effort just to include the quick question from TJ. Especially when you're on Paramount Plus, just add an extra 3 minutes to the episode. Let us see some of more of the questions. But I kind of like the format too, that it was kind of random when you would fall in. Some of the people just like didn't fall in. So I thought the questions were fun. Anissa, you know, travel the challenge encyclopedia. That was very impressive. And it was weird for Ruthie, the fact that she knew so many questions, but like didn't know some of like the ones she got wrong at the end were seemingly easier. So that was odd too.
I hated the fact that it was basically weight dependent. Like, I hate that. It made no sense to me to have a challenge where if you're heavier, you lose sooner. Like, I know it didn't work out that way, because like it's not like Tech won because he was so skinny against Nehemiah. But like, so yeah, if you know your history, but there is a huge advantage to being lighter. which is bizarre.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it made absolutely no sense that that was a rule. I don't know why it's not like three strikes you're out. It could have been like one strike you're out for Big Easy and, you know, 10 strikes you're out for Kendall. Like, that made no sense. But I just kind of love the nonsense of it. Like, this is, to me, like, again, this is All-Stars. Let it just be kind of nonsensical. That's fine with me.
It's a fun mechanism to have them go through the floor like they always on the challenge mix it up, like, and they showed you another one where it's like, I love how they called it a death, or sorry, I watched the after show this week, and Jemmy called it a desk, but it's just like a chair that you like threw them back when Devin was on. But there's always a different mechanism on the challenge. I liked this one that you go through the floor. Seemed definitely inexpensive. I don't know what the budget is this season, but it was effective.
Yep, and Katie smacking her face, bleeding again. Very funny. Especially when they just showed the clip of her from her previous season with the multiple tumbles. That was very funny. And then a great TJ moment when I don't remember who was asked the question, but they were asking how many people are in the elimination round on the island. And they said one. And TJ's like, how could there be one person in elimination? Yeah, was it also Katie? Perfect. Yeah. How could there be one person in elimination? What are you talking about? Just take a step.
TJ, I think, is having a lot of fun with the season, yes, which shows, and that's really great. But yeah, I really liked this. I liked that obviously some of the questions are about them. I would have had my money on like Jemmy, Mark, Derek, and it was surprising to me. I mean, not Anissa. I think that's like also someone you'd bet on in this, but kudos to Nehemiah for staying up on the challenge.
Yeah, but it was a weird comment for me. He was like, who would have thought? Like, I haven't been on the show in 10 years. Tech hasn't been on in 20. Who saw us being in, like, the final two? It's like, most of the people on the show haven't been on in 10 years. So, I mean, like, what show do you think you're on? This is people who haven't been on in, like, 10 years.
Well, I don't know that they want a reference, because, like, I think it's the same with, like, Stephen Fishback going on the challenge. Like, I don't think they're going to be talking about Derek doing the podcast that much. I mean, maybe if it's, like, Kendall and I are really close. She like has done my live show. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that'll come up, but I think they would tend to not want to talk about it. But I could be proven wrong. Mm-hmm. But like, I think that I agree with you. That's funny. But like, you'd expect somebody who's not us. I wouldn't expect that.
Yeah, like,
we're
more
not,
in the know. To more like in the know. More,
there are some people. Only one person has to win. There are some people who have been on more recently. But point, definitely point taken.
Yeah. So we got definitive word on the lifesaver.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Up for grabs each week. Up for grabs each week, which is like a fun thing. I don't know if it's really ever going to come into play. I think it's like a cool thing to think of, but I mean, Nehemiah kind of lays it out. He's like, you know, I don't really want to go against the entire house just to save someone. So I think it has to be a very, very specific thing to even be used. And I think if it's going to be used, people are going to know it's going to be used, so they're just not going to do it. So my guess is this thing never comes into play.
Yeah, I think you're right in that it will be like, we can't put in. Well, who knows how loyal. We only hear from Beth that the tenderoni will be loyal to Beth. But, you know, they do talk about putting Beth in. We don't know that that wasn't a factor. I think you're right that it will be like, well, now, like the equivalent of Cam and Leroy. Like, now Cam is safe because Leroy has the lightsaber. So we might as well, lifesaver. So we might as well not put them in.
Yeah, so if anything, your way would have been better. I think that you should just have it, and then you just have it for the season. But like, there's a new one that's tossed in each week. I think that would at least open things up for more possibilities of these things being used.
Yeah, I also wish you could use it on the person who lost the challenge.
Mm-hmm. That's how. And then the person with the second most votes goes in.
But you know, I think we'll see at least one, because like, I do think a lot, like, it's always everyone plays nice at the beginning. And even again on the after show, they asked like how they decided rooms, and Nehemiah said like, I wanted to room with Mark because like, I wasn't in an alliance with him and I wanted to get better and whatever. But like, he clearly says like, I had alliances coming in. So I think everyone's playing nice now, and it's just been easy votes, and eventually it will start getting divided, and then maybe the lifesaver comes more into play.
Yeah, I wonder though if it is, because I mean, it's only 9 episodes, right? So we're only gonna like have 3 more men and 3 more women get eliminated. So I don't know when it's gonna like get down to it. I think it's just gonna have like a few probably easy votes, and then it's gonna be near the end if this is really only 9 episodes.
Interesting. So I mean, maybe we'll get some double eliminations.
Could be, yeah, or some purges or something. I don't know, but yeah, I would hope it'll get a little more gets more cutthroat as it goes on. What did you make of Trishel's apology to Anissa for the Rivals 2 incident?
I love that, because I definitely remember that. And I think especially like in the climate we're in, right? Like, kudos to... I almost wish we got more of Anissa's perspective, right? We get like one confessional from Anissa being like, or she says to her, I'd forgiven you a long time ago, but I appreciate this. And her basically sort of absolving Trishel's sins. But this is really from Trishel's perspective. I will give kudos to Trishel for like showing up, knowing that's going to get replayed, right? Like, I think something I've been thinking about where, and maybe we've talked about this, maybe we haven't, where all these MTV shows, like Are You the One and Real World, are becoming available now for a new audience in 2021. And this was 2013. What she said to her was absolutely not acceptable then. But like, there are things that would not impact you as much if you had said them in 20 whatever, when these shows were airing. And it's like, to step back into the show knowing that that's going to get played. So, I mean, maybe you question, like, did she address it so that she could be the narrator of the story, knowing that it would get aired regardless? I choose to believe, like, she's been feeling bad about it. Who knows why she waited this long to address this with Anissa. Mm-hmm. I think Anissa's pretty accessible. But yeah. I loved this moment as somebody who remembers watching that scene. I thought it was really well handled by both women.
Yeah, and I thought the clear sign that Anissa not only like accepted the apology, was moving past it, was during the elimination, she was like openly trying to help her and give her advice and like root for her. So I think that was clearly like a clear sign that, you know, Anissa's ready to, you know, rebuild a friendship, or at least, you know, be okay with it.
And this is almost like what I think about Leroy and Cam, where like they had such a bad season where, like, yeah, they weren't, if or they broke up after a show or weren't really together or whatever. And then they get back on the show. But had they not both been on the challenge, they wouldn't be together, most likely. And Anissa says, like, if only we had made up 10 years ago or 8 years ago, we could have had some great friendship. But this was always the problem. And I think of it the same way with Trishel and Katie. Like, if Trishel won this elimination instead of lost, I think Trishel and Katie mend fences. But because Trishel leaves the house on this note, they still haven't spoken. Trishel called Katie's mom and Katie's husband, but has not spoken to Katie.
Yeah. A lot of fork in the road moments, depending upon how long you last in the show. Absolutely. A lot of these relationships could change.
Did you know how close Katie and Trishel were outside the show?
Not really. I mean, mainly because I just, like, I probably should. I just don't keep up with the people as much off the show when they're outside the screen.
You don't need to be like keeping up with Katie and Trishel.
I know, but like, you could ask me about people nowadays. I wouldn't really know how close they are unless it's like on my screen. But no, I didn't realize. It was very, like, that fight. I mean, we can get into that fight. It was, Katie was having me dying laughing, where Trishel was like, I when we lived together, like, I always defend you. And Katie's like, that was 20 years ago.
It's really crazy. I mean, believe me, I could have fights with people and be like, you heard me 20 years ago. But Trishel was like, alcohol was the enemy. They had resolved it, and this was 4 a.m. And there's like a big jump cut, and suddenly Katie's screaming at the top of her lungs. This whole, I'm sorry, it's a sickness. This whole fight gave me so much life. I feel bad for both women. I'm sad for their friendship. But whew, did this take me back?
Yeah, and then poor Jebby's just standing there, and Trishel's like, Jay, why don't you jump in? And I'm sure she was like, absolutely not. I'm going to stay out of this one.
It's also Trishel, like, Katie wasn't saying anything to Trishel. Trishel's like, you're trash. Nothing. I mean, Trishel, who's been called Trashel, throwing trash around, is like, again, very reminiscent. It's like when I was in college and I would go back and hang out at high school and with high school people in Jersey. And to quote How I Met Your Mother again, it's like Revertigo. Like, I'd come back with like a sort of Jersey accent. It is true. Like, these people are going back and falling right back into their old shit.
Yeah. You're around the cameras, the people, the environment. I'm sure it definitely brings you back and triggers a lot of your old emotions.
Yeah. I felt bad about this, but just absolutely wild. And the other thing that was funny is, like, I was literally writing in my notes, misdirected anger, like misdirected anxiety. And then Katie says it. And I'm like, shoot, I like can't sound so mature as compared to these actual adults, is like when we're watching the regular challenge and we can identify that, like, they know what they're doing.
They know. They've been around the block. They're full grown adults now.
And they know what it's like to live with the image they've made on TV, right? Like, Fessy's sort of just coming into this. Like, he's sort of new to the game. He did Big Brother. He did the challenge. And he's tweeting, like, yeah, I didn't come here to be liked. I came here to win $1 million. Haters gonna hate, whatever. Katie's like, I really want to leave this version of myself behind. It almost seems like she's worked hard to deal with her anger, to grow out of it. I have kids, I have a wife. I don't see myself as this person anymore. And I don't like that I'm now going back to it. And that's really interesting to see someone sort of like battling their reality TV personality.
Yeah, I thought it was almost leading to Katie like leaving. I thought it was like, you know what? This is bringing me to a bad place. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm going to leave. Like, I thought that's potentially where this was going. And she sort of indicated, she was like, why don't you just, like, let's vote me in and I'll fight her out. But I kind of thought she would just, you know, quit the show.
Apparently, Trishel wanted to quit, according to Katie on the after show. And
that makes a lot of sense. That fits Trishel's MO.
They made up and like, or to a point, and Katie like talked to her about staying, and then apparently Katie was cheering for her, and they just haven't talked since. So we'll see it at the reunion. It's brewing.
Yeah. Well, if you're gonna have a draft of who was gonna cause TJ's like hope to see never line, I feel like Trishel would have been the clear number one. So that spot is now wide open for the rest of the cast to claim.
I'm at a loss. I have no idea. I'm more excited now, because if it was Trishel, I would have been sad. But in the elimination, I mean, Kendall goes in. I have no idea what happened with Kendall. She ends up not basically refusing to break through the thing. And I thought the treatment should have been, if you don't go through the water, Trishel's out of elimination and you automatically go in. Why was there consequence?
She kind of just gamed it. Like, it wasn't like she got her questions right in the beginning and did something wrong. Like, she just gamed the system to not fall. It wasn't her fault the thing wouldn't break. Like, I would be confused too. If I was standing in one of those things and TJ told me to hop, I probably would have hopped to the next spot.
Yeah, but then TJ's like, no, get back on the thing and go through it.
Yeah, I don't know. That was very odd. And then for that to be the reason she was voted in, that was odd too. I feel like there's like have more deeper discussions than, all right, you didn't fall in the water, so you're going in.
So I thought it was bullshit. I believed at Kendall's description too of it was complete bullshit. Like, he says give a little hop. Ruthie does a little hop. She goes right through. I think they knew what they were supposed to do, and she was afraid to go through. And somebody on the after show, I forget, said that Kendall was like, I don't want to smash my face like Katie did. And I think she knew exactly what she was doing. And she was like, oh, but now I'm over it. I don't have to go through. I think there should have been consequences for that from the game, like from production, like you go through. I think like Casella says on the after show, I was just giving her Kendall in deliberation an opportunity to own it and to be like, I was scared. I got out of it. I'm sorry, whatever. And that crazy lie, it's like in early reality show episodes, they're looking for any reason. And she gave them a reason. And then for her to pick the most beloved person and be like, well, it should be the second place person who fell second. Like, come with a better strategy, Kendall. They're not voting her in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that wasn't happening. I'll be curious when we get our first open voting and like a real open vote and see how some alliances might shake out and get a real split vote and actual. I hope it's not just, you know, whoever finishes last really dictates who they're going to go in against. As they seem like Trishel didn't really pick, but like that's how they presented it. It's also kind of odd, like for Mark Long, like he worked so hard to get the show, and like you would think he would want it to be like cutthroat and some of that. And he's all about like fairness and openness, and person who's going in gets to pick their opponent. Like, I would have thought he would want like more action, and he's more like, all right, let's just keep it fair and keep it nice.
I mean, this is so old school reality show, but certainly old school challenge. Like, and I'm fine with it. Like, it's no skull twist, no bullshit. It's like the equivalent of the rookies going in every time, right? Like, this is how it used to be. It's like, oh, let's do the quote fair thing. But it's like Ace said last week, no one actually cares. Kendall's a good competitor. All of the women are happy to see Trishel hopefully take her out. If not, they don't really give two S's about Trishel. And Mark is just jockeying to win. I think Mark wants to win, and he thinks that would be the best season. And Mark really wants to be on the show again. So I think this is a honestly good strategy to go with the flow as long as it's not harmful to your game. Mark and Beth kissing Letarian's ass the second he walks back in the house is like, so again, old school, like, challenge strategy. And I think that's just what we're seeing. And maybe it moves a little bit slower, but
I guess so.
I'm confident when it starts not working for Mark and Anissa and Hisela and everybody else, we'll start seeing people go fisticuffs. But you're right, maybe it won't be a long enough season for that to happen.
Yeah. Anything else for All-Stars?
Not so fast. I mean, I don't know. This was a great elimination. It was won basically by Durrell helping Kendall, but Kendall, formidable opponent, smokes her. Love Trishel going out. Don't, you know, go to the gym. Don't sip cocktails by the pool.
Mm-hmm. That was very like old school Anastasia when TJ was like, don't, that's what you get for smoking two packs a day or whatever the line it was. Trishel used it on herself. Yeah. But, you know, we support sip cocktails on the challenge. Let's get back to that. That's my biggest request for next season of the challenge. Get some warm weather. Get out of the bunker and the cold and all that stuff. Sipping cocktails by the pool.
I'm into it. No questions from Friday Margs this week, or you didn't like his question? It's my brother's alias.
Yeah, it was. I didn't want, because I felt bad because it was about Amber Bees being bad at math, but obviously, like, we know an excuse, so I didn't include it.
Oh, you know what my brother's pissed about, and I keep saying I'm going to talk about, and not that we need to make this podcast longer, but that the constant repetition of the eliminations with no rhyme or reason. And he's a new viewer, but I'm really starting to think he's got a point that it's one thing if it rotates, it's one thing if you can be accountable for it. But, like, why are we arbitrarily seeing Hallbrawl 15 times?
Yeah, well, like, Hallbrawl now has, like, become a staple of the last elimination. I saw, like, I think the last four, or three of the last four last male eliminations have all been Hallbrawl for season. So, like, now that's becoming, like, a thing. Like, the last elimination before a final is Hallbrawl. But, like, I have no problem if they want to keep it to, like, the same four or five eliminations. But, like, they should just make that known. Like, I think I mentioned, like, a while ago in one of the seasons they had it declared, like, all right, these are the four eliminations, and you can even pick it, or it was like random, or there's an order. Like, that's fine if that wants to be the format for the season, whatever. But, like, yeah, but, like, make it known. Like, it just or just do random stuff each week. I don't know. Just make it more known.
It does seem like they're like it lets people say they're stacking the deck for certain people when they're like bringing out Hallbrawl 5 weeks in a row. But all right, let's get to five star reviews. When's the last time we did a podcast?
Well, we did one. We've done one each week now for the last like weeks.
What's the minus? Do the math. March 1st.
Come on, four. Yeah,
April 1st.
Yeah, remember my classic April Fool's joke?
I don't think I read one of these people's.
No, you couldn't pull it up last week. You had technical difficulties. So really, the week before that.
So what's 2 weeks ago? 14, eight minus 14 in months.
24th. Okay. 24th or 25th.
All right. So, Ambruzuela, Jacob Easterberg, 123 underscore Marie, and the one that indicated to me that I hadn't read it because I know I haven't said this, 123 45 83 $3 2 8 2 ampersand 1 !!! !!! Thank you, everyone, for the reviews. We really appreciate them. Can we say something?
Is that like Morse code or something? What the heck was that?
I don't know. If I'm not intentionally delivering any messages. But Brian, I'm looking at our five-star reviews, and I'm seeing that we have 831. And I'm tempted, knowing we have the cushion of a couple more weeks after the finale with All-Stars, I'm tempted to see if we can also go out with a bang like Leroy and say, can we get to 850?
Well, I was going to say 900, but yeah, let's do 800. let's do 850. I'll tell you what, if Leroy and when Leroy and Nani win, I want like that night, like that night to the following week. So like when we cover the reunion, I want there to be a flood of, we are so happy that Allie's dream came into reality. Like I want those to be the reviews.
It's our dream, Brian.
Show who the real people are.
It's our dream.
It is. It is.
Look, you have to make it about yourself. You and Amber B always make it about yourself. If you want to help realize our dreams.
I was trying to make it about you. You made it about me.
You have to go to robbizwebsite.com. You have to. You can. You should. Go to robbizwebsite.com/challenge iTunes and subscribe and leave reviews. And let us know you were there. Leave ratings also with those. Mm. Leave 5-star rating or however you feel and leave reviews with those ratings so we can know you were there.
Are there any other challenge episodes we could talk about for the next 2.5 hours so we can overtake your driver pod and be the longest podcast? Or I think that's it, right?
Mark my words. I will never do a podcast that's more than 4.5 hours ever again.
Never.
I stunned you to silence. Oh. Well, as Robin Scherbatsky would say, I never said never. I'm just going to start quoting obscure, whatever, How I Met Your Mother.
Oh, man. The early seasons are great. That's the very quotable stuff. So you're in, that's the good parts for sure. All right. You can subscribe. robinswebsite.com/challenge iTunes. Follow me on Twitter at Coleman with a C, Brian with an I underscore. Follow you.
At Lash Tweets.
Got NGOG.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you can check out this week, Kiwi and I, in one of Kiwi's favorite NGOG episodes ever. Don't know why. You could check it out at anchor.fm/newgirloldguy.
And we'll be back next week for Leroy and Nani's coronation.
Wait, do you think I should have talked about the mug you sent on this podcast? Or I already talked about it on NGOG. So.
Yeah, it's talked about. It's on your Twitter. People want to see that. They know what's up.
Brian sent me a beautiful mug that's on display on my bookshelf, never to be used until I get desperate and haven't washed dishes, and then I'll use it. But it's not challenge related.
Gift.
It's my mistress gift. Mug.
Yes.
I called Brian and equated it to like if I were my husband podcast sent me a picture with my mistress podcast on it being like busted.
That would be a move. That's like a TV show right there.
All right, let's not make this go to 2 hours. Thank you for the mug, okay. Though.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll be back next week. Until then, have a good one.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.